Parks and Recreation. Oop, I'll start over. Welcome everyone to the Parks and Rec Committee. Today's Monday, March 7th for the Cameron Park Community Services District. We are starting this meeting at 6:47. We will start with a roll call, which in this case is me, and Ellie Wooten is not present, but we're hopeful she will join us tonight. I'm going to go ahead and skip the public testimony portion because we are starting late, and those we will be allowing our public to speak according to those comments. Moving on to the approval of the agenda. And let me know whenever Ellie shows up. And approval of the agenda, I guess that's just me. So I will go ahead and approve the agenda. And next item is approval of the conformed agendas. I did look at that, and I also make a motion to approve the conformed agenda. And please stop me, staff, if I need to change the way I'm rolling through these items. Next item is our open forum. All right, this is where we get to hear from members of the public, and they may speak on any item that's not on that on this agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. So we have several attendees and we have a hand raised, and let's start with Liz. If you could unmute Liz, let's hear from her.
Hi there. Can you hear me? Hi, good evening. Good evening. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to speak to you guys this evening. And I just also would like to add, you know, thank you for giving your time and serving our Cameron Park community. I am Liz Gates, and my family has lived in Cameron Park in our home for 21 years, which is our home is located immediately behind the Cameron Park Lake tennis courts. And we were surprised to see the conversion of tennis courts to permanent pickleball courts a few years ago. At that time, we had not been, we didn't have any information or hadn't received any request for input from neighbors and homeowners, from anybody at the CSD regarding the possible direct impacts of these new pickleball courts. So the issue that I ask for consideration is that pickleball courts really, they ought not to be in this close proximity to homes because the associated noise is very, very difficult to adequately mitigate. Or extremely costly, at least some of the options that I've thus far looked into. What's happened is that since pickleball was introduced behind our back fence, we feel we've lost a great deal of the relative peace and quiet that we previously did enjoy in our backyard and in our home. We very contentedly lived behind tennis courts. But the repurposing and introduction of the pickleball changed all that for us. We've also been informed by realtors that we would have to disclose to potential buyers that we have this pickleball noise concern or nuisance. And we have been told that our property value is likely lower. So, you know, as you might already remember and know, over the years, these past years, my husband Dave and I have been in communication regarding this concern. And I also spoke back in July 2020 at this same kind of format at a Parks and Rec Committee Zoom meeting on this issue. And since then, I've just been delving into and trying to figure out a good solution and have come across quite a bit of information. And according to the El Dorado County General Plan, Public Health and Safety Element Noise Level Standard, the maximum daytime noise level for residential communities is 65 decibels as measured at the property line of the receiving property. I will tell you that I got that information straight from table N2, and that would be allowing for a 5 decibel reduction for recurring impulsive noises, which I think pickleball certainly falls into that kind of a description. So I've also found various studies that say that frequent pickleball sounds are typically about 70 decibels at about 100 feet from the strike of the ball. And this on a chart, a typical decibel meter chart to kind of help people see what decibels really mean to the hearing ear, that means that it's about as loud as freeway traffic sound. We have bedroom windows that are within 47 feet of our back fence. And our bedroom windows are about 70 feet, allowing for the additional feet it is to the actual pickleball courts. So therefore, and with all this in mind, I ask, was a CEQA review conducted prior to the park adding the pickleball courts? And if it was not, I respectfully and under state and county policy request one be done now. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for that, Liz. I appreciate hearing from you. I think that is something that Andre, our general manager, and Mike Grassley can probably help discuss with you. Is that something that staff thinks that you guys can look into and get back to her on and let me know?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
We also have a hand raised from Laura Hollister. And let's hear from Laura.
Hi, thank you for being here. I just wanted to say how much my family and I have enjoyed the skate park and the park. My son spends a lot of time there. I've been really concerned lately about the drug use going on there. Back in February, I had to make a phone call to the sheriff's office because a kid about, I don't know, 19, 20 years old was smoking marijuana and blew the smoke in my son's face and then continued to blow the smoke into another boy's face who was younger than my son. I'd say maybe 10 or 11. I know it's like a concern that's been brought up before and we've closed it and things, but I really want it to stay open just for the community and for our enjoyment for the kids that really want to be there.
Picture, Ellie?
And for the people that want to use it right, you know, and I don't know how I can be involved or how I can volunteer. I kind of talked to Mike about it and he said that there might be a committee or something coming up about that. And I just wanted to come here and say that I'm here to volunteer and anything that I could do, I would really like to be a part of keeping the skate park safe and open for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. That is really unfortunate that what happened to you, and I'm glad that you called the sheriff's department. I know Mike has been putting a lot of work and time and research into things we can do. And I think he precisely did say something about trying to involve the community in helping to keep our skate park safe. And you have spoken with him, Mike. Do you want to address this really quick, or yeah, do you want to speak with her at a, you know, one-on-one?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Laura, I may have your contact info or not, but we are working towards trying to get a group of volunteers. So if I don't, if there's a way that I could get your email address so that I can contact you, I don't know the best way to do that. You could call the district front office and they can put you in contact with me so I can get your information, which will probably be the easiest way. And yeah, I'd love to have a conversation about some ideas and things we could do.
That's a great idea. Laura, you can find us at cameronpark.org. Andre, you want to rattle off, or Mike can rattle off our district phone number. I don't have it at the top of my head.
Yeah, it's 530-677-2231.
Great.
Maybe I'll put that in the chat too. Let's see.
Yeah, I thought the chat was disabled. Okay, thank you, Laura. Is there any other of our community? Oh, Kim, you wanted to say something?
I was just gonna say too, on our website, under staff, there's links to everybody's emails too. So that's another option if she doesn't wanna call.
Thank you.
Welcome,
Ellie.
I hate to, you can hear me, right?
Yes, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm just going nuts with this computer. But anyhow.
Yeah. So Ellie joined us about 6:55. All right. Thank you. We always like to hear from our community. We think it's really important. We need your input in order to keep our community safe and forward-looking and compliant. So I'm really happy that you're here today and taking your time to address the committee. Barbara, please unmute Barbara. We'd like to hear from her.
Hi. Well, I really want to say thank you to the gal who called in about the skate park. It takes people like that to let you know what is going on. As you know, I've been involved in years, and we had some really bad apples out there years ago, and I'm truly hoping that that is not like just that the newer people are taking over that role, you know. It sickens me to think that kids are out there, young adults, smoking pot and blowing it in some young person's face. So, you know, Mike, you got to just keep pushing to get more people. Who is that? Do you hear that?
We should probably have the, after people have spoken, it would be great if we could mute them or if you could mute yourself so that we can hear our other community members speak.
Could you hear me at all?
Yes, Barbara, we could hear you. You were thanking, talking about the-
Yes, and then just because she brought up the skate park, I wanted to let you guys know that there is going to be an art exhibit at the Confidence Hall starting March 17th. The Confidence Hall is the old city hall in Placerville. In the old days, it was the fire department. And it's going to be a skate park and skating community artwork, which is very fascinating and very beautiful. So I really would like to see people maybe pop in. It's being sponsored by my son's shop, Motherlode Board, along with a couple of his friends that are artists and the Art Council in Placerville. There's a positive side to the skating community. So I just all want you to know that. It's not all a negative thing. You know, I definitely don't want whatever's going on at our park to be misconstrued as all skaters are bad or negative, because they're not. So anyway, so it's that art is going to run for a while. I'm going to send the information to Mike. It's going to run for 2 to 3 weeks. And if you guys have that opportunity, if you're up in town, you know, I would encourage you to go see the artwork, because really it's beautiful and fascinating at the same time. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Barbara. I agree. Now, skate parks aren't all bad. Okay, so we have heard from the committees. If you had read the information at the top for public forum, you speak once. And so if you have already been called upon, it'd be appreciated if you lowered your hand. And that way we can know if you want to speak on the next item. Otherwise, I don't know if you want to speak on the next item. All right, so moving on to our next item after open forum is our department matters. And our first item is conduct in parks, ordinance 2001-01. And we can have staff go ahead and kick us off.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is about conduct in parks. It has to do with the ordinance 2001-01 that was amended. And in the staff report, we say that public parks are spaces that are set aside for the use and enjoyment of community members. And part of this has to do with a review of the ordinance, and in particular, the lack of any language in there that would prohibit the use of parks, any public spaces, for commercial use. So anybody wanting to come in and to hold a boot camp or to conduct their own lessons on at the skate park or at the tennis courts, the pickleball courts, their own use of any sort of commercial activity, anything that would be to make money for the purpose of either selling items or providing services without some sort of prior arrangement with the CSD that would include permission from the CSD, some sort of agreement that would be signed that would be either a sharing of the revenue in exchange for use of the property, and the producing liability insurance, listing the Cameron Park Community Services District as the additionally insured. So part of this is just asking the committee to have a discussion about, is that sort of language something they would like to see added to that ordinance, or should we leave it as is? And that concludes my report.
Great, thank you. Ellie, you have any questions regarding this topic?
No, because I popped in late, but this is the skate park, correct?
No, we're talking about general conduct in the parks.
About the skate park?
No, this is replying to all of our parks in terms of conducting business in our parks without having a prior contract with the CSD. That's what we're discussing.
Boy, that's going to be a hard one on Mike.
Do you have any questions?
None at this point. Every time we get into these parks, the first one is the skate park, and that's a horrible issue until we get it going. And then we've had Rasmussen, and I really don't know which ones we're
Oh, Ellie, for some reason you froze.
Thinking that may be why she was stuck back on skate park, is her connectivity is not very good right now.
Yeah. Well, I think she answered my question as whether she had any questions with specifically to this topic. I actually do. I think I have done business in parks, and I have had liability that I've submitted to various agencies. And I think it's very important. I'm surprised we don't have that. So I think it's important that we ask staff to develop some language to cover that and perhaps even use as a template some of the other surrounding agencies, for example, the county or whatever other agencies. I know we have an entire parks organization that we have we are a membership of, and perhaps that they may be a resource. The other thing I'd like to ask staff to do is to look over this. If we're going to make a amendment for this to address business being conducted in our park without having, you know, any type of, you know, agreement with the CSD, I think it's important that we have staff look at the entire ordinance and make sure that there's other things that we may need to add or change or update, because this is 20 years old now, if I'm 2001. So I would like to have you actually take another look and come back with some recommendations of any other language changes or any other items that we need to do to bring it up to current standards.
We can do that.
Yeah, Kim.
Are we discussing it, or is that something that we would discuss outside of this meeting?
Well, we're discussing now. We're trying to get Ellie back. waiting on Ellie. Once we finish our discussion, I'm going to open it up for the public to have some comments as well. Okay. But at this point in time, it's discussion among committee and staff, and then public, and then we'll come back and decide what to do. I'm just making my a recommendation of what I'd like to see done to stimulate conversation.
Totally. I think I personally, from the rec side of it, am on board with our language, you know, us updating our ordinances and language and things like that. I think the tough part is going to be, how do we enforce that? You know, because we would have to have somebody out there often enough to be able to document whether someone is monopolizing an area, like as far as that is concerned. You know, if somebody came with a pop tent and a table and started selling stuff, that would be pretty obvious, right? But if somebody is using, you know, one of our, if we had a basketball court and somebody decided to use it to teach lessons, we would have to be able to observe them enough, I think, to establish that there is some sort of business or something going on outside of just recreational use. And I think that that might be a difficult task to be able to monitor that, to be able to enforce it with the updated language and things like that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, that was the first thing that came to mind too. Well, the ordinance is old, and I do think we need to look at it. Absolutely. Trying to enforce it, I think, is a whole nother conversation that we'll probably have to have as well. It's, you know, we have trouble enforcing dogs on leash. There's a lot of stuff that's just out of our control. So,
well, I mean, how much I agree. I hear what you're saying. Enforcement has always been a problem in our parks. We're not police officers, you know. There's only so much control we have, but that should be separate from what our rules are. Our rules still exist. It still gives us leverage in order to take action should we see some wrongdoing. If we don't even have the language to say we need to cover this, then we have nothing to stand on. So enforcement, I see as a almost orthogonal concern. We like to assume that people, you know, we educate them on the rules if we find them. And then if it's repetitive, you know, we can start worrying about enforcement. But at this point, we need our rules first and then enforcement second, should there be a problem. Those are my thoughts.
Good point.
Yeah, Andre?
The flip side of that is once we have language in place and we're able to, you know, we see somebody out there teaching kids how to, you know, use their skateboards and they're advertising. I mean, that's going to be one of the clues is, you know, are people promoting? It's one thing if dad goes out and teaches a kid how to play tennis. It's another when somebody is out there making money and isn't providing us insurance. So when we know about things like that, we simply notify them, hey, you know, just so you know, updated the ordinance. There's no commercial activity out here. If you're taking payment for your services, or if you have a pop-up tent and you're selling out of there and you don't have permission to do so and there's no agreement, we just ask that you do it. And that would be the start of that conversation. This is not something where I see us getting heavy-handed right away. It's going to be more of an educational process for people. And that could result in some positive relationships with people who do provide services, and gives them protection as well as the district. They're now, you know, they'll know that they need to have liability insurance, and that protects the district and the independent contractor or whoever it is in providing a service. So there is that upside, and it would be essentially a best practice.
Ellie, you're muted. We'd like to hear from you. Andre, can you unmute her? Or does Ellie need to, or maybe Ellie can do it. There we go. Ellie, what are your thoughts, Ellie?
I was just listening to Andre, and I really have to say I totally agree with him. And we've had more messes in parks and skate parks and parks by the pond, and somewhere along the line, we have to kind of pull back and just, you know, it's a park. And if kids want to play there, that's fine. But they have to know it's a park, and so do their parents. And that the parents are in this quite a bit when you look at it, you know. I'm sure Mike knows what I'm talking about.
All right, thank you, Ellie. Staff, any other comments before we open it up to the public?
No, I think, you know, Monique, you and Andre kind of took a step back from what I was thinking, and I'm totally on board with what you guys were suggesting now that I, and you guys are looking at it differently than I did. So it's good conversation.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear if our public has anything they'd like to add. And if you would like to make a comment regarding this, we'd love to have you raise your hand and hear your thoughts. We'll give you a minute to do so. Well, maybe not a whole minute. Here we go. Liz, let's hear from Liz, please.
Thank you. I guess I'm just asking for clarification. The parks is concerned about exposure to liability when you have people conducting business in the parks. Is that the reason for the policy?
I can answer that. This has to do with unauthorized use. So when somebody goes into a park to offer a boot camp on the turf, but does not have permission to do so, you know, we want to prevent that from happening. If there's an agreement with an individual or a group, then that's a different matter. Usually those groups, like Little League, they have permission. They provide a certificate of insurance listing the district as the distill insured.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it does sort of have to do with liability and insurance concerns. It sounds... to me.
Yes, and the district owns the property.
Yeah.
So as the property owner, we reserve the right to say who can and can't use the property for really for commercial purpose, or even, you know, this could even have to do with like Little League, who's it's not a good example because they actually do pay a fee. But typically it has to do with somebody that's trying to that is using it as a business.
Yeah, I see.
As understood. A business, that makes sense.
So maybe it would be okay if your little kid wanted to sell a pitcher of lemonade or something. that's not exactly a business, maybe. That would be...
It's not a business. And you know, that's a good point. There are going to be times where, you know, if a Girl Scout is selling cookies, Mike, in the park, you know, that's one thing. But we're talking about somebody who's regularly... coming back and using the facilities. And here's an example. I was in Austin, Texas, and they were having a problem with boot camps. And there were so many of them being offered in town that it was starting to have a negative impact on the park that the turf was getting worn and it was causing damage. And because they weren't able to manage that because these groups would just show up, they were incurring the cost of having to repair the turf, where if they'd had an agreement, the district could have, the city could have said, hey, we want you over here this time, we want you over there. And they could have limited the number of boot camps offered in the park.
That makes complete sense. Mm. Okay. Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Thank you, Liz.
Are we speaking?
Hold on, Ellie. Go ahead, Ellie. Go ahead.
I just want to ask a question. Are we speaking on just parks? Because there's parks and there's pools and there's, you know, all the different things. We all know that.
But I think we're discussing about unauthorized commercial use of district property.
What do you mean by district property?
Well, that would be any district property, the community center. We can't have someone, you know, going in and starting to do a boot camp in the parking lot, for example. That would be disruptive to much of our, you know, it could interfere with our senior lunch and other programs that we have there. So we need to know when people are doing any type of commercial activity on our business, not to mention if someone gets hurt as a liability type of thing. All right. Thank you, Liz. You can lower your hand. Would be great. Anyone else would like to speak from the public? We'd love to hear from you. Okay, seeing none, let's go
ahead. Asking question. Can they play bingo or some of the games anymore inside of the CSD building?
I would let Kim answer that.
So we have not brought bingo back because it was not widely attended. And to be honest, El Dorado Hills has a very vibrant bingo community. And the majority
is that Gilmore Center you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because so, I go there every Thursday.
So because their program is so robust and active, we have just tried to find things where we're not directly competing across these two communities, but rather finding ways to complement other programs and meet the needs of our seniors and our community at large without trying to compete for participation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, looks like we still have one more community member would like to speak. Barbara, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I just want to say I disagree with what Kim just said. We should not be doing something because El Dorado Hills is doing it. We are Cameron Park. I have been involved in this. I've lived in this community since 91. I've been involved in the meeting since 2004. We need to do more for our seniors. I know that the Hills has a beautiful senior center. However, we cannot worry about what they do. And if we're going to, we're never going to be successful. If you compare what El Dorado Hills is doing to what we may do, because that's a whole different ballgame down there. They have money. We need to serve our seniors in this community. And Ellie, I would hope you would back me up on that. We don't need to look at what they're doing. That's just my opinion. Okay, and if that is what holds back the CIA, I've never heard this before. So, and I'm not trying to be critical. However, I do know that we would not have what we have right now if it were not for the seniors, the few seniors in this community, Irene Arnold, one of them, she's now passed away, pushing for them to have that little space in that community center for their games. And that is because of the seniors, not because of the CSD. That is because the seniors pushed for it. And we wouldn't even have the senior meals if it wasn't for our past supervisor, Shiva Prensa, because the prior admin and board didn't want anything here. So don't compare us to El Dorado Hills, please. Put on bingo, put on things. I would come to bingo. I'm not going to drive 10 miles to play bingo with today's gas prices. So that's just my opinion. I just want to put it out there for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. And opinions are what we need. We're a little bit off topic right now. And I think that we need to come back to our conduct in our parks, our ordinance that we're discussing. So what was brought up with the senior program is not our topic we're currently discussing. So let's go ahead and get back to our topic at hand. So any other comments or discussion from staff and Ellie that you would like to make before we decide what we want to do?
Well, I do go to the Gilmore Center because I want to watch what's going on, to be perfectly honest. And they play bingo for, let's say they...
So, Ellie...
They get going and it's an hour and a half.
Ellie, I need to interrupt you. Ellie, we're not talking about bingo. We're talking about our ordinance for whether or not we should allow... change our language and our ordinance to include commercial activity, unauthorized commercial activity on district property. That's what we're talking about.
Is that not a community activity?
Well, if it's authorized, it is. But
okay, we're talking let's say it's just another area that's going for games or this or that.
Yeah, I think
Ellie, why would it be bad to have it at the CSD? We have a huge building.
Ellie,
and then we have smaller rooms that I believe a year or 2 years ago, there used to be people in there playing cards or playing this or play, you know, not wild things.
Yeah, but Ellie,
we're able
you're discussing
to entertain themselves.
Ellie, you're discussing programming right now?
For elders, yes.
Yeah, but that's not what our agenda item is regarding. Our agenda item is regarding conduct in our parks and our ordinance. So do you have any further comments?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Do you have any other further comments regarding unauthorized commercial activity on district?
The only thing I have is when they have the car show.
But okay, that's authorized.
And that car show brought in quite a few dollars.
Okay, thank you. Staff, any other comments? Mm-hmm. Ellie, do you think that we should ask staff to add, come up with some sample language to bring back to this committee regarding unauthorized commercial activity in our parks?
What do you mean by unauthorized activity?
Well, supposing somebody, was holding basketball lessons on a court. Would that be something we'd want to be involved in that as a district? We need to make sure they have liability insurance and so forth.
We'd have to give them permission, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay. All right. Well, and I also think that staff should... if we're going to modify the ordinance, let's be concise with our time and go ahead and look at the whole ordinance and see if there's anything else that needs to be updated. Bring it back to this committee, let Ellie and I take a look at it. And if everyone and have a discussion, if that looks good, we could take it to the board if it's in agreement.
I'm in accordance with you.
Okay, so we'll review the entire ordinance and then we'll come up with some examples of sample, come up with sample language for addressing the commercial use.
Great, thank you. Okay, so direction given to staff, moving on to item 3 would be staff oral and written updates. What we're gonna do here is we're gonna hear the updates from our staff, from Kim and from Mike. And after we get those updates, we'll go ahead and open it up to the public should they want to ask any questions or have any input to that. So let's turn it over to staff and get our updates.
Okie dokie.
you want to go ahead first, Kim?
Sure, why not? Okay. So my staff report was a bit hefty this month. But there was a lot of information in there. Main things that I wanted to highlight was that we are able to, Monique, we are able to see how many visits we get to our CameronPark.org website. So that was, I went in there and I was able to kind of play around with some settings that now it pops up when anybody, staff signs into it. So that's pretty awesome. And to across February, we had just over 35,000 views on our website.
Wow. For the month of February. 35,000 or 3,500?
35,000. 35,075 to be exact.
And is this counting per page viewed or per visitor?
This is per view. So anytime somebody goes to CameronPark.org, any part of it. So if they searched Cameron Park Aquatics and went there, or if they did CameronPark.org, however they get there, it's still counted as one view. So I personally, I go to our website a lot. So there's potential that like every time I go to that website, that's like one count as well. So not necessarily 35,000 people, but 35,000 times somebody has put in our web address and gone to it.
That's fantastic information. Our website. That is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's being used and it's a great way to share information. Wow.
And
seems like an awful lot.
We like that. We like that. That means that people are going to the website to see what's going on. They're going to the website to either contact us or get more information about things. They're going to it to register for programs. So we love that number, and we are going to work on trying to increase that number as well. And just see, kind of keep that engagement up. Our virtual recreation site hit 88 page views for the month of February. I know in comparison, they don't seem, one seems measly to the other, but 88 is still up from January. So as we get into these spring months, we're seeing those views come up as people are looking for activities and things to do outside with their kiddos that are not.
Excuse me, you said outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to highlight was we had our first hiring event this past weekend. So we're kind of taking a different approach to trying to hire our seasonal staff. And we had kind of so we had on-site interviews. So everybody who was interested came at the same time. We led them through our interview process, which is a little bit different. It's more activity-based. So Kayla, our rec coordinator, had our applicants go through that interview process. And then I met with their parents and was able to talk to them about the process and about what they can expect with their child working for the CSD, answered questions, made them familiar with myself and different programs and employment opportunities in general for their kids or their children's friends, things like that. And we got really good feedback. So we had a total of five show up, or no, six, I'm sorry, six who attended the event. We did offer all six positions with the CSD. And then, like I said, the parents gave me really great feedback in being included in the process in this go around. And as far as this goes, at this time last year, we didn't have any applicants. So kind of going this way, bringing parents in, having on the spot kind of interviews, job offers, right then and there on a specific day, it seems to be a good way to go at this point. So we have a couple more coming up in April, and hopefully that will help us in our recruitment process. But there's a lot more information in my report.
A couple more coming up for what?
hiring events to hire staff for
hiring people to work there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This is specific to our seasonal staff. So rec leaders for summer camp, kiosk, and aquatics. But if there's, I know there's a lot of other things in there. If anybody has any questions about any of the other things in my report.
Just a real quick question, Kim. When do we expect to get our mailer in the mail?
It's already gone out.
It's gone out?
Mm-hmm.
Let me check my mail.
I haven't gotten anything.
The three-page. Thing. It's like a trifold. I think there's like in yellow writing, it says summer across it or whatever. But I believe those went out last week. So they should have
maybe
in their mailboxes sometime last week.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Has Mike gotten them?
Mike, did you get?
Not yet, but I'm not a Cameron Park resident, so it doesn't come to my house.
Yeah, but you work here, bub.
Well, I mean, they're at the community center too. So if you don't get one in your mailbox, Ellie, let us know. And I've got tons and tons of extras that people will start taking as they visit the community center so we can get one to you.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah.
And if they're not making it into your folders, we can make sure that happens from now on.
Thank you, Andre.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah. I'm just going to highlight a couple of the items, kind of like Kim did. And if you guys have questions at the end, feel free to let me know. So Ponderosa Little League has begun their 2022 season. And this year, we're taking a little bit different approach with Ponderosa Little League, Kim and I both. And I feel like we've gotten off to a much better start than we have in the past. The communication is, it's on point. A lot of the maintenance practices between both organizations, us and Ponderosa Little League, are in sync right now. So we've had a very good start to the season. The Parks Department is also working with recreation and I'd say the whole district as a whole to potentially bring back Summer Spectacular. So we're investigating all of those, that activity, all that comes with it as we speak. Later this month, there's going to be a company called Solitude Lake Management that's going to be doing some detailed water sampling at Cameron Park Lake. So this is something that since I've been with the district that we've never done. They're going to test for pretty much everything under the sun when it comes to the lake water so we can get a true idea of how healthy our lake is, what kind of organics flowing in, if there's anything hazardous or toxic that we need to worry about. They're going to take lake depth levels, and they're also going to check the sludge levels and sediment at the bottom. So we're going to get a pretty detailed report that's going to be coming back from Solitude Lake Management here within the next month, I would say. So really excited to see if there's some preventative things, some proactive things we can do at Cameron Park Lake, just to keep it, you know, keep it a clean and healthy lake. Because there may be some things that we're not doing that we should be. So I'm waiting. I'm excited for that report. We did have a large oak tree that fell at Paul J. Ryan Park. We had to close the park for 3 days. The tree fell right through the entrance to the small dog park. So once we removed the tree, a lot of the fencing and stuff is damaged around the small dog park. The good news is that it's all still operational. The gates still work. They just don't look pretty. So I'm working with contractors to try to get those taken care of and rebuilt again.
Mike, you had that so beautiful. I mean, you had that set up.
Oh. Well, thank you. Yeah, tree had to wipe it out. But
yeah, right.
It's okay. We'll get it back again. I actually met with the HOA that is for Bridalwood Canyon. It's a community in El Dorado Hills, and they have a lake that backs up to Knollwood Park, which is one of our properties. Their dam backs up to it. And we're currently discussing some maintenance practices and maybe some property boundaries and stuff to clean it up a little bit back there. I'm currently trying to get district access through their property so that we can access the backside of our property, because currently there's no way to drive into Knollwood Park if we ever needed to. So starting to build a relationship with that HOA. Over at the community center, I know you guys have heard a lot about the vaporizer and the pool. A long story short, the pool is up and running. The swim teams and everybody are back in it. The heater is working phenomenally. The vaporizer is doing exactly what it's supposed to, and it's not allowing any of the gases to freeze. It's burning them off before they have a chance to do so.
Good.
So staff are working on kind of cleaning up after the project. We got to put in a perimeter fence to protect the area. And then we're just going to kind of dress it up a little bit. So we're in the process of doing that. And then we're also in a process of rebuilding some damaged sheetrock that occurred from a roof leak. We got a little bit of mold and some, like I said, damaged sheetrock.
And where this is that?
It was in the fire riser room that's located directly behind the stage.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the rooms that's really out of sight, out of mind. You guys have probably never even seen it, but it's there. And this is part of that warranty settlement money that came in. So we're starting to take a look at some of the projects that need to get taken care of. And this one popped up as the highest priority because of the, you know, the mold that we're finding and the roof leak. And the roof has been fixed at this point. So now we're on to stage two, which is to remove all the sheetrock and,
yeah,
and get it all put back to normal again. And if you hear, Growlersburg is going to be spending a few days, few crew days out at Royal Park. They'll be out there again tomorrow. There's a back section in the very back corner towards the golf course that's had, you know, those big winter storms we had did a lot of tree damage and stuff back there. So there's a lot of limbs on the ground, a couple of trees down. So they're going to be spending, I'd say, a good, you know, month out there just cleaning up the property at the back side of Royal Park.
Mike, when are you going to get my bocce ball court going?
Well, when we hear about this grant that might come through in the summer, then we'll start talking about that.
Oh, boy. Oops. I forgot. The boss is here.
Yeah, working on the splash pad first. Any questions, Monique or Ellie?
Thank you. Ellie, you got any questions for Kim or Mike?
No, I don't dare. They'll be hitting me with footballs when I leave. No, I think I'm listening to everything that's being said. And we've all had the same, about the same things that we're going to say, the same gestures, if you will, or whatever. And we will sooner or later find this group will go teach these to swim in the pool, and this group will go teach these, the same kids in the pool, only doing different exercises. And it looks to me like it's a good thing at the CSD. And now with the overhangs and all that, I think we're doing a nice job. But I think we better keep our eyes alert. That's it.
Thank you, Ellie. I have a couple of questions for Mike. In your report, you commented on the water quality, the detailed water sampling at Cameron Park Lake. And then you also have a comment saying that Stratus Environmental submitted an annual water quality testing to the state. Is that the same, or is that, I don't understand the difference between those two items.
Yeah, I should have touched on that. So what Stratus Environmental does for the district is when we go in there to spray Diquat, which is the herbicide on the lake water to control the weeds in June or July, Stratus Environmental has to come out 48 hours prior to the application and do water testing, and then 48 hours after the application, do water sampling, and then they submit a report to the state based on the herbicide that we sprayed. So that's okay. That's their involvement with the lake, is just that one piece of it.
Okay, whereas the Solitude Lake Management is doing a more detailed water sampling to
They're
provide.
Gonna come in, yeah, and test, I mean, pretty much everything that you can, and give us a pretty good report. A lot of useful information is gonna come back that we can use moving forward.
Oh, make sure to attach that report or forward it to me, because I'd love to read that.
Yep, I will definitely get it out when it, absolutely.
And the last question I had for you, Mike, is under Growlersburg, you had them spending a crew day replacing wood bollards around the parking lot, but you didn't say which park.
Oh, Rasmussen Park.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. That's a good catch. Yeah, no, a lot of the bollards are just, you know, rotted and it's time. So it was a good day for them.
A quick comment of that on Rasmussen. I walked out there. You had mentioned last time that the granite got washed away in the storm, and you'd been out there repairing it. And I noticed there's a bunch of sandbags out there to help protect it. Those sandbags have deteriorated and are now blowing away in our garbage, and they're in the creek and so forth. I have some pictures I can send you. But so, in the future, we might want to think of some other type of permanent type of protection there for our path, because the sandbags, just as I said, they're all deteriorated. And I'm like, what is that, snow?
Andre and I have talked about, and we are currently talking about different ways to manage that runoff from back there. But no, you're right about the sandbags. I've seen them a few times. And one of these days, we should probably get Growler's Brig out there to just, at this point, just dismantle them and get them out of there.
Yeah,
I don't know how effective they are at this point anyways.
Just a quick question then. Right now, we're kind of focused on our splash pad project. But for our Parks and Rec plan, I don't know where Rasmussen falls in there, but we might want to consider at some point when we update our plan to put in some sort of more permanent type of, you know, protection there. Another type of, I don't know, concrete wall, whatever the best product would be there.
Concrete. Yeah. And I think Rasmussen is, I think it's number two on the project on that list. And we do have a plan to address a lot of the drainage and runoff that we were trying to work with Ponderosa Little League to be a partner to get that taken care of. And it just didn't happen this year. So, I mean, we do have some stuff on the topic.
So. Oh, and that's kind of an interesting question. Andre, do we have on our list at all? We just did our work plan. I don't know if our work plan involved updating our, you know, our documents, you know, like that park plan.
Excuse me.
Is that on there? Yeah. Do we need to?
Does not include updating the park plan.
Okay. That's what I recall. All right.
Well, doesn't mean it shouldn't be addressed. So maybe Mike and I could take a look at that.
Yeah. Maybe we should bring that as another agenda item next month. Do you guys think that's a good idea, is take another look at that? Is now the time?
I mean, honestly, I don't know if, we just had the park master plan done not too long ago.
I think hasn't it been a year? It's been over a year.
Yeah.
That long?
I feel like with our progress and where we're at now, we're just kind of waiting on, you know, this land and water conservation grant that came through. And once we figure out, you know, if we're successful or not with the grant, it's going to really determine what direction we go. I think that'll be it. But I don't know if we're going to hear back for a while. So I guess it's not too late to do it now, but I think the conversation is going to come up eventually anyways when this grant, we get the results back from the grant.
And I would say that it would be good for Mike and I just to review the park improvement plans to see where we're at. We can do that.
Okay. I got off track. We need to see if any of our participants want to raise their hand, ask any questions regarding our staff update. We are currently on agenda item, our staff update item. What was that, number three? If you'd like to make a comment, question on this agenda item, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and click, raise your hand. Oh, we have a comment from Liz. Can we hear from Liz, please?
Hi there again. Thanks again. Mike, I was just curious about, I like to take walks through the, not sure the official name of the park, but I referred to it as the Old Dog Park, the one that's off of Cambridge. It's nice that that path now, you've over the last few years done a significant amount of clearing in the back portion of the property. Is the intent that eventually there'll be a little bit more regular maintenance of that so that you could walk through and pop up out at the other end of that onto the street? Is that part of the longer range goal? Or it would be fantastic. I enjoy walking through there, and it's kind of a, you got to go there or turn back some parts of the year because the weeds would be a little too tall or mud and various other problems. But
Is that something in the plan to make that a walkable, you know, more regularly maintained path?
You want me to speak to that, Monique? I can speak to that.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. That's a so good Gateway question. Park, it came up on our park master plan as well. And we, you know, the district and some of the board of directors met with a lot of community members at, it's called Gateway Park right there off the bridge. And there was a lot of hesitation from the residents about creating a formal trail that goes through there because it's so close to their backyards. And so once we heard from the community that kind of lives around Gateway Park, we moved it down on our park improvement plan list a little bit lower. It doesn't mean it's not in the conversation. We're not looking at doing something like what you're talking about, because it would be nice to have a loop trail or some way to get all the way through out on Gateway. But it is on the park master plan and we have discussed it. To be honest, I don't know if it's a priority right now, but in the future, you know, you're talking down the road, I think we'll eventually, you know, create a cut through there. Yeah.
That would be wonderful. And I was just thinking maybe a nice way to address the understandable concerns that residents would have is to make one path rather than a whole loop through there and just have it go more through the center, which would then effectively keep people on that path further from people's backyards. If it was just one that went through and comes out to Gateway, just less to maintain, but still a nice alternative to walking on the street or just turning, you know, back and coming backtracking.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'll definitely jot that down with the notes for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. All right. Any other attendees like to speak? Please raise your hand. We'd love to hear from you regarding the staff oral and written reports from Kim and Mike. Okay, seeing none, we're already late on our meeting here because I love to drag things on. Moving on to items for February and future committee agendas. One thing I see that we discussed is that we're going to come back with some suggested verbiage for our update for our ordinance 2001. Staff, do you have any other ideas or comments that you'd like to have on the agenda?
The only thing I thought of was when I get this report back from Solitude Lake Management, would you like me to put it together like a brief 5-minute summary of what was discovered out there at Cameron Park Lake?
I think it's a great idea. Yes.
So do I.
I don't know if it'll be ready for April, but when it is ready, then I can, you know, work with Andre to bring it forward.
I think that's important. I mean, the lake is one of our premier parks in our community, defines our community. So yeah, I think people would like to know that, those results.
I agree with you, Moni.
Any other comments from staff? Okay, taking it out to the public. Any comments from the public? And we have a comment from Liz. Liz, we love you.
I thought, well, since I'm sitting around here, I might as well
add a comment. Yeah, you need to participate. It's great.
If I understand, this is the opportunity I would have to, you're discussing what will be on the next agenda. Is that correct?
Future. It could be next agenda or future agendas.
Okay. So it would just be that I would request a future agenda item. I'm not that familiar with how this policy works, but that we would revisit my public comment from the beginning of the meeting on the pickleball. So I don't know if this, I never specifically or explicitly said, can we have that as an agenda item? So then conversation can be had and discussion to have a resolution. And also, would it be, when would somebody get the requested CEQA review?
I think at this point, Liz, your conversation regarding the CEQA review would begin with staff. I think that they can help help determine if it's something that needs to be done or answer those questions. And if staff and, you know, me and you, however that might work out, the chair, decide it comes back, then we will have it come back. But I do think you need to start with a conversation with staff regarding your CEQA request.
Okay. So Andre and Mike, I guess I would just try to follow up directly with you. And it doesn't have to occur through these meetings at this point. Okay. Thank you. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, it would need to go through these meetings, and Mike and I would be happy to follow up on that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll talk to you again soon. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And the fact you came to this meeting and made that request is setting us up for this conversation. So step one.
All right.
I'm glad you came. Any other questions from the from attendees? Okay, seeing none, moving on. Items to take to the board of directors, number five. I don't recall seeing any at this point. So moving on to matters to and from. Do we have any matters to and from? Ellie, anything you want to share?
Not really. I mean, the items for the board of directors, we pretty well know what we have to discuss, you know, just put that nicely. And then for board, I don't know what the board wants to hear.
Well, we will, as a committee, determine that as we move along. Staff, anything else we should share, we should hear?
Kim, Kayla, the recreation coordinator, and I will be attending the CPRS conference this week in Sacramento. We'll be going
down on Andre, okay. You faded out there.
Yeah, I did it again. Kim, Kayla, the recreation coordinator, and I will be attending the California Park and Recreation Society annual conference in Sacramento. So
we'll be driving down. Sacramento.
On Wednesday and Thursday, and then it's a half day on Friday. This is an opportunity for staff to get training from experts and colleagues through education sessions. There'll be opportunities for networking. There'll be some socials that'll add a little bit of fun to the day. I'm a certified park and recreation professional, so the education sessions are good for me, so I can earn the CEUs I need in order to recertify. And then on one of those days, Director Carlson will be joining us to go through the exhibit hall. And the exhibit hall should have a couple of hundred different vendors promoting their products, their systems, or their services, anywhere from big playground structures to skate park features, services for tours and places where you can take trips to, and I mean, it's just all sorts of stuff. It's fabulous, and it's something that we look forward to every year. And so Director Carlson is going there specifically to look at some systems that have to do with Cameron Park Lake that we've talked about. And I think other than that, that's all I've got. So I'll let Kim and Mike chime in if they have anything.
I don't really have anything. I'm just going to add to this conference being really important for our rec department this year. So I was recently nominated to our District 2 board as a member of the board. That installation was actually last week. And then I too, education sessions. This is kind of one of the times where I get to continue on to hold my certification as a recreation therapist. This is Kayla's first year being able to attend conference. So it's kind of a big year for all of us to be able to attend and start making connections and things that'll help us as a department moving forward. So we're excited for that.
That's brilliant.
Very nice.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. We appreciate it. And that actually, our next item is adjournment. Ellie, do you want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting. I'll
second that motion. We are now adjourned at 7:56 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for attending. We really appreciate it. And you guys have a great evening.
You too. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you.
Good night. Thanks.